Good morning, Riverside, and all of those joining us online today. We are so happy that you've joined us. I wish I was in your living room right now with you, enjoying worship together, but we are so thankful for the technology that allows us to meet together in this way. I don't know about you, but last weekend was a wonderful weekend, with seeing all your Easter pictures and your posts and just actually getting to see some of you face-to-face as we delivered the communion boxes. I hope you were as blessed by Easter as we were, and that that's just given you joy this week, thinking back on those sweet moments together with family and friends online and however you celebrated that. And we just want to thank all those people that spent hours getting all that together and just making that so special for all of us. So thank you if you had a part in that. We want you to know today also that you are so loved, and that, you know, we know at this time it's hard for some of us, and you have a tendency to sometimes feel alone and disconnected, but we want you to know that we are praying for you. And if you want, you can get online. We have prayer request forms online that you can fill out. If you have a need or a prayer request, we would love to pray over those. Our staff and elders pray over those weekly, and we would just love to continue ministering in that way. If you have a need or you know someone that's in need, we would love for you to reach out to us, and we'll help in any way that we can. So just know that we're here for you, we love you, and we're praying for you often. Some of you this week have posted your verses from our new at-home launch, Word 511. We're so excited to see those, to see what verses your family is working on memorizing together. All those resources can be found online. If you go to our website at riverside-church.org, you can find those resources. Share them with friends, share them with family, and we just hope that that's a blessing for you and your family during this time at home together. I hope you're as excited as I am today about hearing Corey's message. We pray that that's a blessing to you, and I just pray that as we hear a word from the Lord today through Corey, that we'll just have open hearts and open minds just to receive what the Spirit would have us hear today. I'll see you after the message, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Well, good morning, church. I want to say welcome to all of you who are watching online today. Thank you for joining us for Church Online. It's so good that we can continue to gather in this way as we walk through this season together. I want to say before we begin, man, what an incredible weekend last weekend was for us as a church, as we got to celebrate Easter in a very different way. It wasn't anything like any of us expected it would be a month or two ago. But I got to tell you, it may be one of my favorite Easters ever. It was such a joy last Saturday. We came up to the building. There were others of our leadership team here, elders and ministers and a few other difference makers that we recruited to help. All came up, and we got these Easter boxes, and together we delivered some 200 packages to all of you who are a part of our faith family here at Riverside, all across DFW. And it was just awesome to see your posts on social media as you put up pictures of your crosses with those three incredible words, hope will arise, and pictures of your communion elements there as you got to celebrate that with your family. The response was just overwhelming. We had over 700 people join us online for Easter worship, and the same number join us for communion later that day. It was an incredible response and an incredible day, and I'm so grateful. And I want to start today just by saying that I'm so grateful for all of you who put in countless hours to make sure last Sunday, Easter Sunday, was another special day in the life of our church. Countless hours went into making those boxes, assembling those boxes, delivering those boxes and those crosses. Countless hours went into making that communion bread and making those crosses. I'm so thankful for all of those people who helped make all of that possible, for our worship team for coming up to church and recording those incredible worship songs, and those people who made the audio and the video and all that come together to make that happen for us so we could enjoy that last Sunday. What a special thing that was. For Miss Rhonda for making those Easter eggs full of candy for our children, and our kids for sending in those videos of them doing the sign language to raise the hallelujah. What an incredible treat that was to see our kids on our screens last week. It was an incredible day, and I want to say thank you to all of you who helped make it happen, and to all of you who shared your responses and encouraged us through your posts online. What an incredible day it was in the life of our church. I also want to say this. Last Sunday was a reminder. Easter Sunday is a reminder every year that something happened 2,000 years ago that literally changed everything for us. Whether you believe in Jesus or you don't believe that Jesus is who he says he is, it's an undeniable fact that what happened some 2,000 years ago literally changed the world. But the question that those early disciples of Jesus had after the very first Easter Sunday, after that resurrection Sunday, is the same question that we have today as followers of Jesus following Easter Sunday. And here's the question. It's simply this. Now what? What do we do now? What happens now? Now what? What happens after the resurrection of Jesus? I want you to imagine that maybe one day earlier this week, you woke up earlier, you got up before anybody else in your house, and you decided to go to the kitchen and go ahead and get a cup of your favorite warm beverage. Maybe it's a cup of coffee or a cup of hot tea, whatever it is that you enjoy. And you go outside and you sit on your porch just to enjoy a few minutes of quiet by yourself before the day begins. And the sun is rising and the birds are singing and you're just enjoying this sweet moment before the day begins. When all of a sudden your phone goes off and it's an alert unlike anything you've heard before. You're not sure, what is this? Is this a weather alert? Is it an amber alert? Like, what's happening right now? And you pick up your screen and you look at your phone and you have to rub your eyes to make sure that what you're reading is actually what you think you're reading, because what it says is that there is breaking news. Something has happened. There is a cure that has been found. Different medical communities from different places all agree they have found a medicine, a cure for COVID-19. And in fact, the president will be addressing the nation within the hour. Well, you're not sure. Could this actually be happening? So real quickly, you go to your phone and you check some of your favorite and trusted news sources to see if they're reporting the same thing. You hop on your social media feeds and see if other people are talking about this. Is this really happening? You text a few friends to say, hey, did you get this notification? Is this for real? And pretty quickly, you realize this is real. This is actually happening. So you put down your coffee, you hop up out of the chair, you run inside your house, you slam the door shut, you wake everybody up and you announce, I've got good news. Something has happened that is changing everything. They have found a cure for COVID-19. This is good news. Okay, here's what I want you to see in that scenario. First, something has happened. There is good news. Something has happened. There is a cure that has been found for this deadly virus. And because of that, it changes everything. Literally, millions of people all across the world are going to be affected by this good news. There is hope and there is healing that is now available through this medicine for those who have contracted this virus, that they can now be treated and get well. And for those who have been out of work because of the way the economy has been affected by the pandemic, now they can go back to work, they can resume their jobs, they can provide for themselves and for their families. Something has happened and it changes everything. This is good news, but it also introduces this in-between time. Because while there is a medicine that has been found, a cure that has been found, it's going to take some time for them to test it, for them to mass produce it, for it to become available widely. And so while there is good news, and this good news will change everything, this good news also introduces this time of waiting, this in-between time, this life in the middle. Okay, here's what I want to suggest today. That the good news about Easter is this kind of good news. Something has happened. Jesus has risen. And this changes everything. This gives hope for every person in the world. But it also introduces this in-between time. This time between the resurrection of Christ and the return of Christ. And right now, we are living life in the middle. And here's what I want to suggest is true, that how we live the life we live in the middle matters. How we live the life we live in the middle matters, and it probably matters more than we think. Some of you right now, we're all having to answer this question, how will we live the life we live in the middle? Some of you are answering that question in different ways. Some of you have decided, I don't have to go to school, I don't have to go to work, so I'm going to sleep in late every day, I'm going to eat whatever I want, I'm going to binge watch all of my favorite TV shows. And while some of you needed this disruption so that you could push pause on your busy life and get a little rest, and I'm glad for you if that's you, for others of you, that may be a downward spiral into some very unhealthy habits as you revert to some things that may not help you mentally, emotionally, physically, or spiritually. Some of you, though, you've decided to answer this question in a different way. How will we live the life we live right now in the middle of this moment, in the middle of this crisis? Some of you have decided, well, we're going to have to go into a holding pattern. Something has happened that is going to change everything, and we don't know how this story is going to end. So right now in the middle, we're not going to spend any money we don't have to spend. We're not going to start any new projects. We're not going to do anything new or initiate anything different. We're going to just go into a holding pattern until this is over, because we just need to survive this moment. And some of you have decided, well, you know, right now, we're going to take this time and we're going to try to make the most of it. Because right now we've got maybe more time than we had before. So some of you have decided to take this time and, well, you're going to start exercising, or you're going to exercise more, or you're going to start learning how to cook healthy meals at home, or you've got that stack of books that you've been wanting to read but you never had time to read. Well, now you've got time to read. So you're reading some of those books because you don't want to just survive this moment. You want to thrive in this moment. We're all having to answer this question, how will we live the life we live in the middle of this current crisis? But here's the reality, we're always living in the in-between moment. And how we live the life we live in the middle matters, and it probably matters more than we think. The good news is that Jesus did not leave us unprepared for this moment. In fact, he taught his disciples how to live life in the middle, how to live the life that we have to live in the in-between moments of our lives. If you have your Bible or your Bible app, I want to invite you to open up to Luke chapter 19 today. Luke chapter 19. Just to set the scene for this story, we're going to go back in time 3 weeks. So last Sunday was Easter Sunday, the day Jesus rose from the grave. The Sunday before that was Palm Sunday, the day that Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem riding on a donkey while people laid palm branches in their cloaks and in front of him, and they sang the song, Hosanna in the highest. Right before Jesus entered Jerusalem that day, he got some of his disciples together and he told them this story. And I want you to listen to this story, because right here, I think Jesus was preparing them and teaching them how to live the life we live in the in-between moments. So this is what Luke says happened. The crowd was listening to everything Jesus said. And because he was nearing Jerusalem, he told them a story to correct the impression that the kingdom of God would begin right away. Don't miss that. This is the reason, this is the purpose, this is why Jesus told this story, to correct the impression and the expectation that his kingdom would begin right away. Luke is a second or maybe a third generation Christian. And when he wrote this story, he already knew that when Jesus went to Jerusalem that next day, things were not going to go the way they thought they would. He was not going to ride into town and set up his earthly kingdom. He was not going to go into town and take the throne. This was not going to happen the way they thought it was going to happen. And in fact, he wanted to prepare the church, just like Jesus wanted to prepare his disciples in this moment, for this truth, that there is an in-between time that is coming. There is an in-between time that is coming. And how you live the life you live in this in-between moment, it matters. So Jesus said, he tells this story, a nobleman was called away to a distant empire to be crowned king and then return. Before he left, he called together 10 of his servants and divided among them 10 pounds of silver, saying, invest this for me while I'm away. But his people hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we do not want him to be our king. Okay, this is a fascinating story. And for those first readers of Luke's gospel, for Jesus' original audience, they would have thought this story is really familiar. because in their own history, in their own cultural context, this was a very familiar story. Herod the Great, the king of the Jews, had to travel to Rome to be crowned king of Judea, king of the Jews, and then to return as the reigning king. But the Jews didn't want him to be their king. They hated him. They didn't like him. He wasn't the kind of king they wanted, they needed, they expected. He wasn't anything like what they wanted in a king, especially a king that wore the title King of the Jews. After he died, his son Archelaus also had to travel to a distant place, had to go to Rome to be crowned king by the emperor and then return to Judea to return as the king of the Jews. But they hated him. They didn't like him. He wasn't the kind of king that they wanted or they needed. So now Jesus tells a story about a king who's going to go away to a distant land to be crowned king. But Jesus doesn't want you to misunderstand. He wants you to know who's who in the story. And Jesus is the one who is going to be crowned king. But in the story, before this king goes away, he gathers his servants together and he gives them gifts, things that he wants his servants, his followers, his disciples to use and to invest in this in-between time, this time between when he's going to leave and the day when one day he will return. Here's how the story continues. After he was crowned king, he returned and he called in the servants to whom he had given the money. He wanted to find out what their profits were. He wanted to learn, what did you do with what I've given you? And I think this is an incredibly important question for us to consider as well, because what we do with what we've been given in the middle matters. What we do with what we've been given in the middle matters, and it probably matters more than we think. Jesus said, the first servant reported, "Master, I invested your money and made 10 times the original amount." "Well done," the king exclaimed. "You are a good servant. You have been faithful with the little I entrusted to you, so you will be governor of 10 cities as your reward." The next servant reported, "Master, I invested your money and made 5 times the original amount." "Well done," the king said. "You will be governor over 5 cities." For these first two servants, they understood the intent of the master was for them to take what they had been given and to use it to invest it wisely. And when the king returned, the reward they received was extravagant. Jesus is saying, our king is a king of extravagant grace. And when you take what you've been given and you use it to carry forward the plans and the purposes, the mission of our king, when you carry that forward in this in-between time, the reward is extravagant. Our king is a king of extravagant grace. These first two servants, they understood this. They got this. The third servant, not so much. The third servant brought back only the original amount of money and said, "Master, I hid your money and kept it safe. I was afraid because you are a hard man to deal with, taking what isn't yours and harvesting crops you didn't plant." "You wicked servant," the king roared. "Your own words condemn you. If you knew that I'm a hard man who takes what isn't mine and harvests crops I didn't plant, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." This third servant had taken what he was given. He didn't lose it, but he didn't use it. And don't miss this. It is possible to know Jesus. It's possible to have a connection to the king. It's possible to receive gifts from him, but not use what you were given. It's possible to take that, to receive that, and then to hold on to it, to live your life in a holding pattern, to live your life in fear, to be afraid, to not lose it, but not even to use it. And Jesus wants you to understand, just like he wanted his first disciples to understand, that keeping what we've been given safe, it isn't the point or the goal. Jesus says basically there's two kinds of people in the world. Those who take what they've been given and they do something with it, and those who take what they've been given and they do nothing. And just in case there's any confusion about the expectation, Jesus says, here's the expectation, that you do something with what you've been given. The story continues. Then turning to the others standing nearby, the king ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to the one who has 10 pounds. But master, they said, he already has 10 pounds. Yes, the king replied, and to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given because we serve a king of extravagant grace. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. And as for these enemies of mine who didn't want me to be their king, bring them in and execute them right here in front of me. All right, the story ends on a pretty horrific note. Once again, what Jesus does in the story is he takes it and he puts it in their own cultural and historical moment, their own context, and in their own day and time. Archelaus, the one who was in power, had executed Jews who had opposed him. Thousands of them had died. And I think what Jesus is doing here is he's using that cultural context to remind them, and now even to remind us, that for those who reject Jesus as king, there is a coming judgment. There is accountability. But don't miss this. Before there is ever judgment, there is mercy. The mercy of God always precedes the judgment of God. But don't misunderstand, there is a day of reckoning. There is a judgment that is coming. And for those who reject Jesus as king, for those who reject taking what he has given them and using that to further his plan and his purpose and his mission in the world, there is a day coming where there will be accountability for that decision. And those people have already chosen their eternity. And that's why I think it's so important that we ask this question. How will you live the life you live in the middle? How will you live the life you live right now in the middle? All of us are answering that question in our own way as we live between this pandemic, this outbreak, and this time of sheltering in place, and this time when hopefully one day we will return to some sense of normalcy in our lives. But don't miss this. How you live your life right now in the middle, it matters, and it may matter more than you think. Will you use this moment? Will you use this current moment in time, living life in the middle, to leverage this moment, to point other people to the great love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus? Some of you are living in the middle of a different situation because you're living in an in-between time because of a diagnosis you just got. You got the call, the news you got, it wasn't the news you wanted, it wasn't good news. So you're living between something that has happened that is going to change everything for you, and you're not sure what's going to happen next. You're not sure how this story is going to end. And here's what I want you to understand. How you live, the life you live right now in the middle matters, and it probably matters more than you think. Will you take this moment in the middle of your pain to proclaim the goodness and the good news of Jesus Christ? Here's what you may not know, and most people don't know until they experience it, but when you leverage this moment in the middle of your pain, in the middle of your suffering, in the middle of your hardship, to amplify and to proclaim the good news of the great love of God revealed in Christ Jesus, people listen. People listen. When they know you're going through a hard time and yet you speak about the goodness of God, people lean in and people listen. How you live your life right now in the middle of this current crisis you're going through, it matters. It matters. What has God given you, and how will you use what God has given you to carry on his work, to further his mission in this world? Some of you are living in a different in-between moment because of what's happened with this pandemic, because of the way it's affected our economy. You know, right now, you're for the very first time in your life, you're facing unemployment. You've never not had a job except for that brief moment when you were going from this job to that job. But now because of what's happened, you've been laid off and you're facing unemployment and you're going through your own difficulty. You're going through your own personal crisis. And here's what I want you to know. How you live, the life you live right now in this moment, it matters. And it matters more than you think. Will you take this moment? Will you leverage this moment to amplify this message? Will you let those around you know that right now you're leaning into the promises of God, the provision of God? You're looking to God to sustain you and to take care of you and your family in the middle of this uncertainty, in the middle of this pain, in the middle of this current crisis that you're going through. I'll tell you this, whenever you amplify that message, whenever you speak those words into those around you and they know what you're going through, they listen. People will listen. How you live, the life you live in the middle matters, and it matters more than you think. And here's what Jesus wants us to understand today, that God wants you to use the gifts he's given you to carry on his work in the world. God wants you to use the gifts, whatever it is that he's given you, to carry on to further his work, his mission, his plan, his care for the world around you. But the question is, will you use this moment? Will you take what you're going through in this in-between moment and use it to amplify his message? And in case there's any confusion about what that is, about what that looks like, if you just fast forward a couple of pages in your scripture from Luke 19, if you go to Luke 24, you find this story. This is after the resurrection of Jesus. In fact, Jesus is about to ascend and to return to heaven. He's going to go, get this, to a distant place. The king is going to a distant place. But before he leaves, he gathers his disciples, and this is the message he gives them. He says these words, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day," and that had just happened. "It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent." And for those first disciples, as they're gathered right there in front of Jesus before he ascends and goes to heaven, this is their job. This is their opportunity, and this is their responsibility to proclaim this good news to the world around them, that there is now hope. Something has happened that has changed everything. And we're living in this in-between moment between when Christ has risen from the grave and the day when he will return to make all things right and all things new. And in this middle moment, in this in-between moment, here is the message. Here is our job. This is what we proclaim, that there is good news, that there is forgiveness of sin for all those who repent. That God so loved the world that everyone who believes in him, anyone who believes in him, would not perish but would have everlasting life. This is the good news. And church, if we could lean in and proclaim this good news in this current moment, that there is hope beyond the grave, that there is a God who loved us so much that he gave his one and only son. This is our job, to amplify this message of the great love of God revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. How we live, the life we live in the middle matters. And it's my prayer that individually and collectively, we would proclaim this good news to everyone, that there is a greater hope, that there is a God who loves and a God who saves. This is the good news that we have to share. If you would, let's pray together. God, you are so good. You are a great God with a great name and a kind heart. And you have loved us so much. You lavish your love on us every day. Your mercies are new every morning. And right here in this moment, in the middle of this crisis, we want to proclaim your goodness, your faithfulness, your kindness, your grace, and your mercy over our lives. We know we are living right now in the middle. We know things are not the way that they are supposed to be, but we know that one day our King will return and he will make all things right and he will make all things new. And until that day comes, I pray that we would live our lives individually and collectively proclaiming the good news of the great love of God that has been revealed to us in Christ Jesus, our Lord, who gave his life for us, who rose from the grave and who one day will return. While we live the life we live in the middle, God, I pray, would you help us to share this good news with everyone we meet? There is hope. There is good news. And we want to carry forward your work and your mission and your love in this world, in this moment. God, I pray you help us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for that message, Corey. You know what? We are there. We're living in the middle, and some days living in the middle is pretty easy. Some days it's harder than others. My challenge for you this week would be every day to ask the Spirit where he wants to lead you, who he wants to lead you to. Look for ways just to be in His will. And it's going to look different for different people. Some people, listening to the Spirit's leading is going to mean getting out of bed that morning and putting on real clothes instead of your pajamas. And by real clothes, I mean yoga pants. But just, you know, changing habits that may not necessarily be good ones during this time. For some of you, it may look like calling your neighbor and checking on them. For some people, it may mean that child that's stepping on your last nerve, instead of acting out, speaking out against them, pulling them in, loving on them, putting them in your lap, spending one-on-one time with them, whatever they might need. It's going to be different for each person. Last week for me, it looked like calling a friend. And it was funny because I got a phone call from kind of an acquaintance. We've been together maybe a handful of times. But she called me, and she loves to video call, and that's not my thing. But she called, and she left a video, and she wanted to just hang out, talk, chat over social media, you know, over the internet. And so my first reaction was, I'm not in for that. I don't need more friends. Like, I don't need that in my life right now. I don't have time for that in my life. It's too much. So I went up to my sister-in-law's house and I said, hey, you know, this person has called, and she's a mutual friend of both of ours. And, you know, I said, I'm not into it. And so my sister-in-law, Cammie, who some of you know, said, you know what, maybe it's not about you. Maybe God is moving in her and moving in you, and maybe you're supposed to do this for her. So I was like, yeah, I hear you, Spirit. And I knew in my heart what I was supposed to do in the first place, but I didn't want to do it. But hearing that nudge from Cammie to go and do what I knew the Spirit was calling me to do, I listened to that. And it was one of the most beautiful hour and a half of my life and of my week. And we just talked, and we talked about what the Lord had been doing and what our lives are like right now, and we're in similar spaces. And so in that moment, in that day, it was my role to listen to the Spirit's leading and to follow that, even though that sometimes my heart may not want to follow that. So I would just encourage you in this middle time to get up every morning and just ask the Spirit what He would have you do that day. And it's only that day. Some of it you may need to ask every second of that day. But rely on the Spirit to lead you and guide you through this middle time. And it can be a joyous time. It can be a time of learning. It can be a time of just drawing closer to the Lord during this time. But I would just encourage you to rely on the Spirit. We have the power within us to do amazing things. So I would pray that you would just, that we would just get out of our comfort zones and ask the Spirit to help us and ask the Spirit to lead us and draw closer to Him and become more Christ-like in these moments. I love you. You are not alone. If you are struggling, reach out to somebody. We are all here to help and to love you, and we can do this. We do hard things together, and we can do this together too. Have a great week. Go in peace.